This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you today from Pokhara, Nepal. We're up in the Himalayas, and earlier today we hiked up to a spot called the Australian Base Camp. It has amazing views of the Himalayas, and it was just 90 minutes or so up the mountain, mostly climbing on these big rock stairs. And I will tell you, I am completely and totally exhausted. I have no idea how these folks do these multi-day treks across the Himalayas. I used to think that it was the porters who carried their stuff, making it easy for them. But my 90-minute hike, well, it didn't involve carrying much of anything, and I am absolutely exhausted. The bottom line is that mountain climbers, well, they are absolutely amazing. And here in the Himalayas, well, this place is beautiful.
It's time for your tech tip. The year was 2008. I was finishing up my first week at the brand new job I had landed at a family law practice in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was learning the ropes and feeling fairly confident. That was until about 3:30 Friday afternoon when I was tasked with what seemed like a simple assignment: update one of the websites to the latest version of WordPress. Back then, WordPress wasn't the juggernaut it has become today. Drupal, the software I was more familiar with and had built websites in the past, was the preferred option for content management as far as web professionals were concerned. But how hard could the update be in this child's toy of a blogging platform, I thought. Upload a few files, click a few buttons, piece of cake. So without a care in the world or a backup on my hard drive, I performed the update and completely hosed the entire thing. Now, thankfully, this was not the website, the firm's main website. It would be at least a year before I jeopardized the livelihoods of our entire team by bringing that one down. But it was an important website, a podcast, blog, and directory catering to marriage therapists and mental health professionals. It was a huge part of our outreach to referral sources and had thousands of visits and listens each month. And now it was offline. Not even a 404 error. It just wasn't there. I dug frantically through a list of contacts for various marketing and technology resources at the firm. I found the name and email of a developer who helped with the site theme, and I tried desperately to get in touch, but he was in the UK and had been off the clock for hours at that point. I was in a deep panic. This was not an "I don't know how to do this and need help" moment. It was an "I've possibly destroyed hundreds of hours of work and foobarred the marketing of a law firm that just hired me to help with the marketing" moment. I knew I had better come clean and let my boss know about the problem, and beg for whatever kind of help that he could provide. As was his habit, he was not in the office, but likely working from a local Greek restaurant, so I had to email him. The reply was swift and to the point. "Well, good luck," he wrote. "A master of delegation. I often wonder what he's up to these days. Probably traveling in some far-flung destination I've never heard of, like, oh, I don't know, Pokhara, Nepal. I seriously considered just walking out the door and not coming back to the job. But I soldiered on, and with grit, gumption, determination, and frantic Google searches about PHP configuration files, I managed to get the site back online." In the software development world, every project has a very important file called a changelog. It outlines what changes have been made between the last version and this version. And in tandem with a good backup, I'd argue it's something more of us should make use of in just about every aspect of our practices. Now, thankfully, most document storage providers and office suites provide version history. So for client files we've drafted, or fee schedules, or financial spreadsheets, we can step back through the revisions if we are worried something got messed up along the way. But beyond that, I would argue that for just about every project or system or workflow, we should be keeping a changelog so that when things inevitably break, we know where to start looking for a fix. My experience taking down a website in my first week on the job emboldened me to carry on with even greater technological disasters in the years ahead. Making forward progress when it comes to tech is largely a matter of how willing you are to push things until they break and then being willing to fix them. And when they do break, knowing what has changed and what happened just before the collapse makes troubleshooting and improving and growing that much easier. After my first foray into irreparably breaking things, I had a changelog for all of our websites. I didn't call it that, and it certainly wasn't anything fancy, just a Google Doc with entries for the date and a quick description of what was done each time we made an update. We sometimes had 5 different developers doing different things on the site at the same time, on top of me wreaking whatever havoc I was. So being able to look back and know that the site traffic started declining right around the time I installed that plugin that replaced all of the images on the page with cat GIFs made it a lot easier to diagnose who was to blame and what the solution was. One of my all-time favorite pieces of software is Zapier. I've used it for years to automate huge swaths of our business, and about a year ago, they started requiring you to make a comment every time you update one of your workflows. It's fantastic. When you realize that something isn't working as you'd expect, you can quickly look at your version history notes to see when you made changes that might be the culprit. And what's great about a changelog is that there is no magic. There's no special formula you need to follow. The process and the format aren't important. Whatever is most convenient for you and your team is the correct solution. So whether it's keeping tabs on website updates, intake protocols, social media posting schedules, office supply ordering procedures, or just about anything else, consider keeping a log so that when things break, a fix isn't far away. I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. If your law firm's revenue is still under $1 million, and if you're locked on a vision of growing the law firm, well, then it's time for you to get focused on the right things. You might be putting lots of hours into crafting standard operating procedures, or maybe you're spending time interviewing paralegals, getting ready to hire someone, hoping that those folks will be the key to amazing client service. But here's the blunt truth. All of that internally focused activity, it's sidestepping the real dance, the thing that actually needs to be happening, the marketing. You see, marketing is the key to moving the needle in the early stages of growth of a law firm. Focus on your marketing now and increase the revenues, and you'll have time later to fix all of the other things that need fixing. If you don't get momentum going toward higher and higher revenue, well, then you'll peter out. The law firm will slow down, and your dream of growth, well, it will slip away. Take it from someone who learned the hard way. I remember hiding from the marketing. I found a safe place in the office. I could spend my days figuring out the technology and drafting systems and focusing on internal operations. It was easy for me to spend days, weeks even, perfecting our firm's procedures, convinced that if we could just smooth things out, well, then growth, it would come knocking on the door. Meanwhile, while I was focused on the internal, externally, things were suffering. My referral network, it was gathering dust. Even the lawyers who had been great referral sources, they were out going to lunch with other people because I was too busy focused on the internal. The truth hit me hard one afternoon as I sat in the office fiddling with a systems document for the umpteenth time. I was playing it safe. I was hiding behind the guise of productivity. I was scared. I was scared of putting myself out there. I was scared of calling a lawyer about lunch and getting a no thanks or a who are you again. That sort of thing really made me nervous, and I felt the anxiety. I allowed myself to get so immersed in the day-to-day internal focus of the law firm that I allowed myself to lose sight of the big picture. The fact is, marketing, it's tough. It's stepping into the ring knowing that you might catch a few punches. It's reaching out repeatedly despite that voice in your head telling you that it'll never work. I remember one rejection that really hit me like a ton of bricks. I'd mustered the courage to invite this really high-flying lawyer to lunch. I was hoping to build a bridge with this guy for referrals, but I got a really curt, not interested reply to my phone call, and it felt like a door being slammed in my face. It stung. It shut me down for a week. I simply couldn't bring myself to make any more calls. But here's the thing. Resilience in marketing, it isn't about shrugging off rejection. It's about learning from it. It's about understanding that each and every time someone says no to you, well, you're one step closer to a yes. It's realizing that while the internal operations of the law firm, they are essential, they simply won't fill your client list by themselves. Marketing, it's key. It's the lifeblood of your firm's growth. It's about making connections and being seen and offering clear solutions to the clients who need you to help them. It's about remembering that every successful law firm was once right where you are right now, standing on the edge of all this potential, trying to muster the nerve to jump in. So take it from someone who's been there. Let go of the internal focus. Those things can be taken care of later. Pivot your gaze outside the law firm to your community. Start those conversations. Make those calls. Invite those lawyers to lunch. Let them know who you are, what you do, and why you're the best of it. And when rejection hits, and it will, it's the nature of the game, let it be the fuel that drives you forward instead of the anchor that holds you back. Those rejections, they only come to the folks who are trying, who are in the game, who are focused externally, who are doing the marketing. So one day you'll look back at those rejections fondly. They were the stepping stones that you needed to climb to get to where it is that you're going. So don't let your focus become overly internal. Turn your attention to the external. Reach out into the community. Build your network. Do your marketing. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Pokhara, Nepal, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there. I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.